On today's Compassion Radio.
You know, I think there's a huge opportunity. Maybe once all this quarantine is lifted, people might rush back into churches. It would be wonderful to see that happen, but also just people rush to their neighbors and to their communities to, you know, help people through this aftermath of this pandemic.
Hi, friends. Welcome in your own safe distancing kind of way to the radio journal that takes real risks when it comes to living a missional life. Do you remember that old Postal Service motto? It goes like this: neither snow, nor rain, nor heat, nor gloom of night stays these couriers from the swift completion of their appointed rounds. Sounds like something that could just as easily be said for every first responder on the globe right now, or every other kind of delivery person. There's a certain kind of valiant honor associated with being a lifesaver. And you know, it's just as true of our spiritual first responders. The pastors and missionaries not just bringing the gospel to the world, but showing how it's lived. Friends, we have never needed honest-to-God examples of a living, thriving faith more than we do right now. Today's guest is one of those, and we're happy to have him back on the air with us today. Friends, today in Compassion Radio, we're welcoming back someone we introduced a couple of years ago, and a very interesting story it was even then. In the age of coronavirus, it's become a worldwide adventure and suspense story, and we're going to get to some of those details today. But I want to welcome back Richard Nungesser to Compassion Radio.
Thank you so much, Bram. It's really nice to be back with you again.
The story you told us before was how God had brought you through a few cups of tea into some interesting and very impactful ministry to street people throughout the middle part of Poland. It grew into something that was much bigger than just relief work. So just give me a recap real quickly of how you ended up where you were in that part of Poland and what you were doing before this crisis hit the world.
To recap, just the short version, when we landed in Poland, we had this desire to serve God. Mm-hmm. And we were, in a variety of ways. We were teaching English as a second language for a small Christian language school in a couple of cities. But the desire was still there to serve in more ways.
Right.
And then noticing the homeless people on the streets and in the train stations during November when it started getting cold, thinking that there was something I could do for them.
Mm-hmm.
Realizing that there was something I could do, and I actually read it in the Bible. Jesus says, whenever you give a cup of water in my name.
Yeah.
So I thought, hey, I can give a cup of water in Jesus' name. But being November, it was cold, so we gave hot tea instead.
Yeah.
And from there, the ministry grew from those three cups of tea to now serving a lot of people in a variety of ways. So from the sick, the hungry, those that are needing clothes throughout Poland, and then into Moldova, and into Ivory Coast in West Africa.
And how those three countries melded together in one mission statement was fascinating itself. And I know we don't have a lot of time to go into all those relationships that flew out of that first wave of opportunity. But truth be told, God brings together divine appointments for those who are ready to hear the stories of those people calling out for help in different parts of the world. You happen to be at the crossroads where those stories came together. And you and your wife had previous experience in other kinds of ministry throughout the world. And you can do that work pretty much from anywhere if you have the right kind of contacts and the right communication tools available to you. We're living in the age of communications, so we could, and we've had to find a way in the past few months here, to literally work from home or from someone else's home along the way. You are now not in Poland, but you're in Phoenix, Arizona. Now, that would seem pretty normal if you were coming back to work on fundraising or visitation with churches that are supporting your work there in Poland. But that's not why you're there. You're there because the world kind of unraveled around you, and your son's health was at risk, highly at risk. So tell me that story.
Yeah. So it was a really, I think, heart-wrenching decision to decide to come back to the States. Because our work is in Poland. Our home is there. Animals are there. You know, the kids' toys are there. Like, everything that we have, you know, for living is there in Poland. And so picking up at a moment's notice, not sure when borders will be open again, when it's safe to return, was really a heart-wrenching decision, but we made it based on our son, like you mentioned, Maxwell. When he was little, he contracted RSV, a virus.
Mm-hmm. And RSV is a respiratory virus.
Yes, exactly. And so with this virus in Poznan at the hospitals, it ended up turning into pneumonia. And then from pneumonia, it ended up, he was very, very sick. So they put him into an induced coma, intubation. His heart began to fail and several other complications with that. Thank God, after those 7 days in a coma, the prayers of people that carried us through that situation, he spared his life.
Mm.
And now that he's always been, someone sneezes and then bam, it hits him. So, yeah. Like these viruses with Max are not well taken. Yeah. And so as we watch this coronavirus envelop in Europe and talk to many different doctors in Europe and also the States, their recommendation was to come and be near the Phoenix Children's Hospital, and especially to be near family in case something should unravel with this.
When you're going about trying to solve the problem that might come, and you have reason to be cautious, how old again was Maxwell when he went through his first bout with that RSV virus?
When he first started, he was just 6 weeks old.
So he's not even the fully developed immune system at that point. So from the time he's an infant, his immune system or his body's reaction to it is hyperactivated, so he's going to have complications if he gets sick. That's one of the baseline realities you have to accept, that you're going to be managing some of these kind of health things until he's a fully grown adult, probably. And then you face this new chapter, which the entire world suddenly wakes up one day and says, it could be me. I could be in hospital tomorrow. I don't know if I will, but how do I keep from getting sick? You have already walked this road. I think that's what's unique about your story to me, Richard, is that you as a family have been where many families are right now, with a loved one who's facing an unexpected and life-threatening illness, and a very similar kind. He couldn't breathe properly. His pulse ox was down, and he's a fragile infant. You made it through, and so when you heard about what the coronavirus could mean, you knew exactly what it would be like for you all to be back in that same place again. You weren't about to not do something. But you are committed.
Yeah.
You're committed to being in Poland. So that is your home. So I'm sure that your solution set, the way you're praying was, God, if not here, where do we go? If not there, where do we go? Every time you looked at the next domino to tip over, it kept getting shut down. And pretty soon all of Europe was in lockdown, and you probably would be stuck in a country with your son with no guarantees of medical systems responding to him, and no guarantees that the medical systems in these countries wouldn't get overwhelmed by the coronavirus, and then exposing your son even more. So then it became a full-on, as we might say, tactical retreat. Come back to the home base and be here for a while, and then let's work from there. So you're in that middle part of your plan right now. What have you been learning, Richard, about having to make those hard decisions to leave a ministry hanging that you love for the life of your son? What's God been teaching you through all of this?
Yeah, you know, when he was really sick, and, you know, each day the doctors would tell us, don't leave his bedside because today you will say goodbye.
Mm.
You know, those are really tough situations. And so when I thought about going through that again, you know, just not sure if he contracted the coronavirus or just another respiratory virus,
right,
facing the situation again is very, very daunting. And so then I begin to work through this concept, and I did a couple of sermons, because now I do my sermons online for the church back in Poland.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically like choosing faith over fear. My aunt shared a quote with me years ago. She said, there's two types of pain in life. There's the pain of regret, and there's the pain of effort. What type of pain do you want to live with?
Mm.
And so when I think about the same thing, because fear is a choice and faith is a choice. And so that just really have to like force myself in this trust and trusting God in these moments of making these, you know, heart-wrenching decisions. Because there's still, you know, even yesterday you think, oh, should we have left or should we have stayed? Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was hard to figure out. And so I think it's just trying to increase that trust, this faith in God, knowing that he's bigger than this situation that's going on. And all our children, our own lives are still in his hands. So no matter where we might be, we still want to, you know, do the best that we can for our families and for those that we serve. But where's the best position to be in where God desires us to be? And so I think that faith over fear. This choosing faith has been one of the biggest lessons in my life still.
Okay, that sounds practical, but I'm left with two questions here. One, you're sure. still dealing with the fact that the rest of your children and you have been disrupted from the things that you feel the most passionate about. Everybody is having to accommodate the reality that your son needs support and needs protection, practically speaking. And you've all made that adjustment and gone, but it still has a cost. And you will have to work through that cost together. And helping a 7-year-old not to feel guilty for the possibility of being sick, all those things are compounding. But the second thing is, I've heard a lot of people talk about having to turn to faith in the face of fear and doing all these things. It sounds rational, but I'm not hearing from many people the idea of how it's different for those who have faith versus just from the flesh stepping into a courage that you've got to do, or you're not going to make it till tomorrow, or you're going to go stir crazy. I mean, there is, I think, a level of personal strength that comes from the flesh that is not bad, but it's not a God strength. Mm-hmm. What kind of faith and fear are you talking about here that goes beyond just the natural man?
Yeah, I think just off the top of my head, from my heart, when I think about that question, when I think about fear just being like gripped, you know, those moments of like, you know, I don't think I can make it through another moment of the doctor saying, today you'll say goodbye. Mm-hmm. Or this faith, where when I think about faith, I think about this verse from James chapter 1, where it says, consider joy when you face trials or persecutions of many kinds. And it talks about persevering through that so that we're made mature and complete. And so then I think about being mature and complete in something that's supernatural. Mm-hmm. When we think about faith, is something that is peace. Mm. Jesus says, the peace I give to you, not as the world gives. So it's not something that you can, you know, pick up in a book and just read and try to find how to develop inner peace, you know, through breathing or whatever, which is good. You can relax, you know, doing breathing exercises and stuff, but a peace that's supernatural. I think it's, you know, one of those fruits of the spirit.
Yes, it is.
Just this peace that God can give to us that's supernatural. Like it's there that God can give. And I think when we choose faith over fear, we're allowing God the opportunity to say, look, I can give you this peace that surpasses all understanding, that can guard your heart and guard your mind in Christ Jesus.
If anybody has earned the right to say that God brings peace in difficult times, it's definitely the Dungesser family, and especially their father, Richard. We'll be back with more of his story right after this. I hope you're not forgetting your brothers and sisters around the world that are battling coronavirus and the panic it brings, just like you are. And I'm thrilled that you continue to partner with us in times like this. This unusual media ministry that we are, bringing you the frontline kingdom news you probably won't hear much about anywhere else. Thank you for how your courage and faithful giving keep us on the air, in the arena, standing with you to help the kingdom keep growing in the 21st century. Here's how. Just visit our website, CompassionRadio.com, or call our toll-free order line, 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Reach out to us whatever way works for you. We can't do this work any other way than with you. If you use our website, make sure to download a copy of Michael O'Brien's beautiful rendition of Were You There? Just a few clicks and the song is yours to encourage and inspire you throughout the day on your computer, phone, or music device. You can also download his entire Crown Him album as well. Best of all, you get to name your gift to this ministry. There's no required minimum. Give as the Lord enables you and enjoy Michael's powerful, warm voice for always.
Were you there when God raised him from the grave? Were you there when God raised him from the grave? Oh, sometimes it causes me to shout hallelujah, hallelujah. Were you there when God raised him from the grave?
So I think that's the path. When we choose faith, we find those moments that God can give us the supernatural peace.
Yeah, it seems to be, it's kind of like the difference between choosing optimism from yourself and choosing to accept the faith that he gives us as a gift. To say, I'm going to make it possible for you to see the good that can come and to hang on to that and to follow me even if it looks bleak. To march down that path, not with your courage but with his, is something that's really kind of hard to explain to people because you're doing the thing that brave people do, but that wasn't a brave that came from you. But you are hopeful that your son will be protected, that your whole family will, and I know you're praying blankets of coverage over your people back in Poland. While you're having to stand outside the arena and not be the gladiator fighting the devil in the pit, and you're having to wait on God to do his work that you can't really do much about, what's going through your heart and mind during that? And how is God challenging the faith that he's given you and making you stretch it in ways that you never thought you would?
Yeah, you know, right before we left Poland, I got a call from one of our church members in Poland, an international man. And he says, "Okay, Pastor, I'm having trouble breathing. I can't breathe." And so, you know, all these signs of coronavirus.
Right.
In my heart and mind, you know, I'm ready to drive over to his place, you know, be with him, call the ambulance together, you know, try to take care of him, but I can't go to the hospital with him. So being there one-on-one. But at the same time, like, everything was locked down. You can't do that. So just to try to speak to him over the phone till the wee hours in the morning, try to comfort him. Thankfully, it turned out that he did not have coronavirus. I think it was more anxiety or some other things. I'm not exactly sure, but he's okay now. So being at a distance, I think, is hard. Where I love to use my hands in that sense. Just before we left, a lot of the feeding programs were shut down. And Bread of Life is the last organization that's still distributing food in and around the city of Poznan. So we're working really closely with the food bank. And so we've actually increased our food distribution 400%. So the volunteers and the team is still actively going out and feeding people, taking care of the elderly, those that are stuck in their homes, even out into the villages where people are even more isolated.
Yeah.
So we've seen, even though we're back stateside, we've seen the organization and the ministry continue to grow and be used by God in great and mighty ways.
Okay.
Yeah.
So while you wait, you have two tracks you got to be on. One, the dad protecting your family, and two, the pastor in absence who's trying hard to encourage and challenge the faithful back home, which for you is Poland now. Tell me, first of all, how God's answering your prayers about your family and his health. How is Maxwell doing, and how have you assembled the right kind of help around you should he get sick?
Yeah, thanks for asking about Max. Right now, he's doing well. The whole family's doing well. We were quite nervous taking that last flight on the plane, flying through Chicago, knowing it's another hot zone, hoping that we don't get it, but we wore, you know, masks and gloves and hand sanitized all the time. And then, funny story, we brought two dogs with us. And no airlines in the States were flying pets.
Right.
So we had to rent two vehicles and drive from Chicago cross country to Phoenix.
Wow.
So that was quite interesting. And then we found a nice home via Airbnb. Normally when we come back to Arizona, we stay with my wife's parents, but they're in their 70s. They're at high risk for coronavirus. Right. So we can't stay with them. And then coming to Arizona, it's all on lockdown as well.
Right.
You know, just like back in Poland. So it's just kind of changing one quarantine for another quarantine. But thankfully, everybody is healthy right now.
Okay.
And we're thankful for that. If things should turn worse, we're thankful that we're here because we have the Phoenix Children's Hospital and several family and friends who are doctors who can help kind of guide and walk with us through.
So you've got some good relationships and someone to docent you through that medical system. Okay, now as the pastor in absentia, you're reaching back. I know you're thinking every minute of these people, so they're never far from your heart or mind. What do you do? How do you pastor from where you are?
Yeah, you know, I think we're all trying to figure this out because even stateside with pastors, you know, churches are closed and everything's kind of online. I think this is a wonderful opportunity where it's limited because everyone's supposed to be practicing social distancing, but it's still an opportunity for everyone to still check in on their neighbors and check in on each other because I know many people, even in Poland, I know like here in the States and throughout the world, people are losing jobs.
Yeah.
They're losing income to pay rent. There's, you know, a lot of internationals who are stuck abroad.
Yes.
Who can't get home. Even one of our directors for Brought Up Life for Ivory Coast, he lives in the Netherlands with his family. His wife's pregnant with their third, but he's stuck at Ivory Coast and can't get back.
Wow.
Other people are stuck in India and can't get to the families in Poland, for example. So it does make for a challenging hands-on experience. But I think at this moment, we can do our best to encourage people via online phone calls, text messages, you know, able to help maybe transfer some funds to somebody who needs some food, or even deliver food from the Bread of Life to the people who are in need.
You know, I think about the first century, Paul and other apostles sent a lot of letters around. That was the only technology available to them to send encouragement. And you can imagine the entire church coming together when a letter came from Paul. He's been gone for a year, or when Peter sent his circular around to the entire church outside of Jerusalem. What a big deal it must have been to sit down and hear a word from our fathers. It doesn't seem quite so big deal to us in this day when everybody can do it. It's kind of like talking about publishing. There's a million people now that can publish a book. It hasn't changed the amount of people that are actually good at it. So there is something to be said for leadership that is tested and true and is able to communicate well. But I do wonder if there is something missing almost in the modern church in our inability to capture the things that God is saying through pastors like you, missionaries who are plugged in at the bleeding edge of the gospel. And if there's not a responsibility we have to not just catalog what happened like a diary, but to make sense of it through the Spirit of God himself, to write a kind of a modern epistle of what we went through as a body during these times, and make that part of the canon of not scripture, but a canon of ongoing conversation. The Jewish people call it the Talmud, the rolling forward of the truths and the dialogue from generation to generation. How do you see yourself speaking into the people you're with, and how do you think God's going to use this experience and make it available to Christians who are not even yet born so they can learn from what your body, what this entire world church body is going through during this time?
Yeah, that's a great question. I hope in my desire with the church back in Poland that I pastor, Poznań International Church, and with the organization that my wife and I founded, Bread of Life, with our colleagues and our team members, that through the situation, through this pandemic, that they see people whose faith was matured and increased, mm-hmm. not just in their own life, just for their own selves in that mm-hmm. sense. Because I think there's this, you know, vertical relationship that we have with God, but this whole horizontal relationship, you know, loving your neighbor
yeah.
as yourself. You know, I think there's a huge moment or opportunity, because maybe once all this quarantine is lifted, people might rush back into churches. Mm. But it would be wonderful to see that happen, but also just people rush into their neighbors, mm. into their communities to, you know, help people through this aftermath
right.
of this pandemic. It was interesting. You know, our church isn't real big compared to maybe to churches here in the U.S. But a couple Sundays ago in my sermon, I just went through the list of countries that have been at PIC. Mm. And there's been 72 different countries or nations
wow.
that have been through PIC since I've been pastoring there. And to think of the opportunity that we have to advance the kingdom of God
yes.
through those different nations. So then I get excited about that as well, because then I think, you know, God used a little city of Poznań that maybe not too many people know of in Poland, but to be like a discipling ground for, you know, already 72 different nations to go back out into the world to take this love of Christ in practical ways.
Yeah.
And so we pray for those different people that have been at church, that they too will mature through this. And on the other side, going through this, that they too will have an impact in their community. And that's how we've seen, you know, Bread of Life move to Ivory Coast or to other countries where people have went back home. They're like, hey, I can do something as simple as giving a cup of tea or water in the name of Jesus.
Yeah. We'll have more Richard Nungesser's faith-building story of ministry and family in the time of Corona on tomorrow's program. I hope you'll join us then. And friends, thanks so much for helping us each day to bring these stories to the air. Without your commitment, feedback, and support, there is no Compassion Radio. Before, during, or after extraordinary challenges like we find ourselves in these days, God is still very much at work. Will you join us? We treasure your prayers and support as we pursue all that God has for us in this 77th year of ministry. If you'd like to support the work, your gifts are always welcome at our CompassionRadio.com website or by phone at 1-800-868-2478. You can also text Compassion to 53445 to give right from your phone or write us at Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. We love you, friends. May God's resurrection power be alive and well within you today. God bless you, friends. Join us for the next Compassion Radio or online at CompassionRadio.com.